Okay. This morning, well, yesterday, our fellowship was called to prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord and many things that are going on right now. And the Lord put it on my heart to teach and share on fasting, not because I'm a doctor, because I'm not, not because I'm an expert, because I'm not, but I'm one who fasts. And I just want to share what I've learned over the years. Actually, I started fasting back in the 70s. Before I was saved, I was one of those people they called health food nuts, and I made my own yogurt, you know, and I sprouted beans, and I fasted, and I bought books on fasting. It was for the wrong reasons. I mean, it was strictly, well, actually, it was for cleansing that I did it. I remember reading a book by a guy named Paul Bragg, who was one of the associates of Jack LaLanne back way back in the 30s and 40s, I think, and remember reading an incident about he one time challenged a local sport team, a football or baseball, I don't remember what it was, to hike across Death Valley with him. And so they took the challenge. He fasted for a week, arrived at the edge of Death Valley with his tent on his back. He was in his 60s at the time, by the way. Camped out in his tent, got up in the morning, and all the team showed up with their station wagon full of munchies and sub sandwiches and chips and soft drink and all, and he had his water, and they started to cross Death Valley. And this is also after he had fasted for 1 week. I think I shared that. Well, he's the only one that made it to the other side because they all collapsed along the way. He went to the other side, pitched his tent, spent the night there, fasted for weeks, several more weeks. Fasting has some very unique properties about it, and one of the things it does is it has a way of cleansing our bodies. Today I want to talk about why we fast, how we fast, how long we fast, what are the benefits of fasting, and what are the problems we might encounter. Fasting. A simple definition of fasting would be don't eat food. You get that? I mean, that's pretty simple, right? Don't eat food. That's today's focus. It could mean don't do something. You could fast from television. You could fast from video games. You could fast from computers. Now, if any of you are getting creative and say, I think I'm going to fast from work. No. Talk to your employer first, you know, before you do that. But, you know, we called it prayer and fasting. It's okay to pray without fasting. And it is okay to fast without praying. I did that before I got saved. But when you put the two together, when they're combined, it really reaches its full effectiveness in the presence of the Lord. When do we fast? Why do we fast? Well, sometimes we fast in times of trial because we're looking for strength in the time of trial. We're looking for a solution to something when we have questions. Sometimes we'll have questions and we're not sure, God, what do you want me to do in this? So we'll fast in order to get the answer to a question. We fast when we are desiring to seek God's will in some situation. And very simply put, when we fast, it does draw us closer to God, and I'll go into more detail on that. But it's not our chance or opportunity that we might manipulate God to do what we desire. The focus is on God. It is to rely on Him for strength, for provision, for the wisdom that we need. But it's not only just the fact that we're taking our eyes off food or abstaining from food, but it's to take our eyes off the things of the world and to focus our thoughts on the Lord. And I've been blessed to fast anywhere from 1 to 40 days, and I say that not to boast about it, but to say that God gives you the strength to do that. And when you do go for a long period of time, there's some special blessings that come from it. And you can fast from all food, it's normally what I do, or you can fast from certain types of food. In my case, that would be popcorn. I have a weakness for popcorn. When my kids were growing up, we went through 2 bags of popcorn a year. Each bag was 50 pounds, okay? We did a lot of popcorn. You could fast from chocolate. Does anybody fast from chocolate? You could. It's a way of putting the flesh under submission. You could fast from meat. I know as a Catholic, years ago, I used to fast from meat on Fridays. You might fast from coffee and switch to tea for a period of time. I know that when I drink too much coffee, it affects my personality. I get really aggressive and kind of nasty. Jump outside the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so the thing is, it's an opportunity that we might cancel some activities and to tell the Lord that your priority is to be with Him alone. That's the whole idea. Fasting is it has a lot of other side effects, but you know, how do we fast and how long do we fast? Well, you can fast from a meal. We asked folks in the fellowship who were able yesterday to fast for a day. You can get up in the morning, skip breakfast, and eat the last meal at the end of the day, or just skip the whole day and start with breakfast the next day. You can skip a meal. You can skip a day. You can fast for a week. You can fast for longer. I don't encourage people to go past 40 days. In fact, if you are going to fast for a prolonged period of time, it's good to check with a physician. I checked with the great physician, and you know, it also has to do with experience in fasting. You need to consider, have you fasted before? Have you ever done that before? And if you haven't, then you really need to work up to it by starting out with a meal, a couple of meals, a day, a few days. And there are some things to consider when you're going to fast. You need to consider your schedule. Do you have a really physical job? Are you a building contractor? I mean, Eric and I talked about this. He's a building contractor. It's hard for him to put away food for any length of time. If you're a guy someone who has a very physical job, maybe you're an aerobics instructor and you do 15 classes a day, that might be hard. Maybe you have a busy home life. Maybe you have 5 little children and you need all the energy you can get. Maybe you're not a good person to fast. Maybe you're 6 foot tall and weigh 98 pounds. You're probably not a good candidate to fast either, because the body actually burns fat. And if it doesn't have fat to burn, it will burn muscle tissue. Now, the other thing to consider is when you fast, whether or not it's going to greatly inconvenience others. Now, I have a reputation, my wife knows well, of starting the new year with a fast. Well, it happens that her birthday falls on the 4th of January. So if I start a fast on the 1st of January to go out for a couple of weeks, then we can't go out to dinner. So I have to start my fast on the 5th or the 6th now. You know? So you need to be careful. Look around you. Notice who you're with and what your situation is. As far as the length of fast in the Old Testament, they generally fasted for one day. In Judges chapter 20, it says, all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came under the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So they tended to do one-day fast in the Old Testament. In the book of Esther, Esther called for a 3-day fast. In the book of Samuel, there was a call for a 7-day fast. 3 times in Scripture, there were 40-day fasts. There was Moses. He fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai when God gave him the Ten Commandments. Elijah fasted for 40 days, and we know that Jesus fasted for 40 days. Like I said, you don't want to fast for that long unless you have medical supervision or previous experience that God has shown you that you have that body type that can do that. Now, I've been blessed to be able to do that, but, I couldn't do that in my own strength. I couldn't go a day without food unless God were to sustain me through it, because I love eating too much. I love to eat. I love to munch. I love food. I like sitting around by myself and eating. I like eating with others. Eat, you know. Jesus did a lot of eating. I like to emulate him in that fashion, you know. So I can't do that in my own strength, but the types of fast you might have, and I'm talking here food, okay? I usually do a juice fast to start anyway. And you can do a juice fast. You can do a liquid fast where you just take in liquids. You can do a total fast where you're only drinking water. Actually, a total fast would be no food or water, and that shouldn't go for more than a few days because, well, you can die. Or worse, you know. So you don't want to be doing that. But the thing about, let me talk a little bit about what happens inside your body. When you fast, the body goes into a cleansing mode. And if you're drinking pure water, your body like dives into a cleansing mode. And it is a harsher fast, and it is harder to maintain in the beginning, but it really does a deep cleaning on your body. And what happens while you fast is the fatty tissues, from what I've read, dump their toxins into the bloodstream and they get eliminated through the water excretions. People have died fasting, but not because they're not eating. It's because they have so many toxins in their body, they die of their own waste, interestingly. So to go into a deep clean, it's water only. But the focus of a fast should always be on prayer. Reading God's Word, reading the Bible. And, you know, when you're fasting, you can substitute that time when you'd be eating and preparing and cleaning up after meal with prayer and reading the Word of God, having fellowship with God. I'll tell you, one of the things that happens, as you'll notice right away, is when you don't eat, you got a lot of time, a lot more time on your hands. You're not thinking of, preparing for, eating, cleaning up after. And fasting is really feasting. You're feasting from food, or you're fasting from food, I should say, and feasting on the Word of God and in prayer. And I'll try to say this as discreetly as I can, but some people have a sluggish digestive system, such as myself. And if you're preparing to go into a long fast, you don't want to leave anything inside of you, so it's best to flush that out with something like magnesium citrate or some of these things that they have for that sort of thing. And followed up by Gatorade, because it releases a lot of electrolytes. It takes a lot of electrolytes out of your body. And when you begin a fast, what I usually do is I will start with juice. And as you just drink juice, you get used to that whole concept of not sitting down for the meal anymore. And then introduce water every other drink. And then you can slowly phase yourself into just water. But that's one of the ways to do it a little less painfully, is to alternate juice and water. And the same thing coming off a fast. When you go off into a fast for weeks, into water, you start introducing juice towards the end. And if you go into a prolonged fast for weeks, you actually have to take days to break it, sometimes up to a week in a case of like a 40-day fast. So why would we fast? Let's ask that question. In Jeremiah 36, the Old Testament teaches that the Jews fasted when they were seeking God's blessing, when they're seeking God's direction. Sometimes they were in trouble. They also fasted on what was called the Day of Atonement. In Jeremiah 36:6, it says, "Therefore, go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities." So, as I said earlier, Moses fasted 40 days and nights on Mount Sinai. He went without food and water. That was a special anointing of the Lord Jesus says that he was hungry afterwards, but it doesn't say he was thirsty. So it says here in Exodus 34:28, "He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant and of the Ten Commandments." So Moses did that. King David fasted. Remember the whole story of King David, how he sent his faithful soldier, Uriah, to the head of the battle so he would be killed, so that David could take his wife or his own wife. And they had their first son, and his first son was very ill. And David sought the Lord. It says that in 2 Samuel 12 that David sought the Lord for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So David fasted as he sought the Lord for the health of his child. Nehemiah fasted when he learned that the wall of Jerusalem was burned down, that the gates or was broken down, and the gates were burned. It says in Nehemiah 1:4, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Darius, a pagan king, he was the king at the time. Remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Here's a pagan king fasting that night while Daniel's in the lion's den, fasting for Daniel's safety because he was a friend. The early church leaders fasted. John the Baptist taught in chapter 2 of Mark, taught his disciples to fast. Jesus fasted, as we know. And interestingly, in Matthew chapter 6, I want to close with that chapter at the end, but right now in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "When you fast, not if." So if you're healthy, you should fast at some point in time. He says in verse 16 of Matthew 6, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly." So God's word says he does expect us to do that. He expects us to sacrifice for him. He just expects us to lay aside things in reverence to him. He expects us to fast. He doesn't tell us how often. He doesn't tell us how long. So he doesn't give us a frequency or a duration. So it's really left up to you. It's up to us as individuals, but we should be prompted by the Holy Spirit. We should be praying for his direction. But if you're healthy, you really should fast for your own sake and for your walk with the Lord. I really encourage it. And again, not to get our own way, because he only answers when we ask according to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." So we can ask of the Lord. Now, it's not normal in our society for people to sacrifice. You know, there's let me give you some examples of some TV commercials you won't see. Buy this TV later. You actually don't have the cash right now. Have you seen that one on TV? How about this? Just eat a few of our chips. Save some for tomorrow. Haven't heard that one either, have you? I don't think I've lived that one either. When I get the chips out. Do you really need a new car? Your old one still works quite fine. You know, the thing about fasting is it's pretty amazing. It provides a method of discipline in an undisciplined age that we live in. This age almost despises discipline. Do what you feel like. Do what's right in your own sight. Do what you want to do. To your own self be true. But fasting offers a way to bring self-control into your life, to bring in a physical discipline, to bring in a physical restraint on some things, so that it might wake up our need in our recognition of our need for spiritual growth. When we establish a physical self-discipline, it leads to spiritual self-discipline. They are tied together. When you deny yourself physically, you will grow spiritually. You'll have more of a willingness to submit to God's will. You'll actually hear God speak to you. Scriptures will mean more. You'll be reading the scriptures and it'll be flying off the page in ways that it never has before. That's things that I've experienced. I don't say that I've ever heard God's audible voice in the middle of a fast, but God does speak to us. Oswald Chambers, he's the one that wrote My Utmost for His Highest. He wrote, "When you're fasting, you have a heightened sense of attentiveness. Food or any physical sensation can satisfy you and fill you up and dull your senses and your spiritual ears. In contrast, a hungry stomach makes you more aware and alert to what God is trying to say to you." And say that's true. Fasting prepares you for major decisions. It prepares you for big events that are coming. You can prepare yourself for things that are ahead of you. And in the Bible, as I said, God's faithful followers fasted and prayed before major decisions in their life, before major events in their lives. For example, after his baptism, it was after Jesus' baptism, he went into the wilderness in the desert, fasted for 40 days just prior to his public ministry. When the Jews were threatened in Persia, Esther called for a feast. And she said, "Go, gather together all the Jews, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and then will I go in to the king." Read the book of Esther. It's a powerful book, but I just want to make that point. Fasting brings you, there's something miraculous about it. It brings you in line with God to seek his will, to show your devotion to him before an event occurs, before a major decision occurs. And studying church history shows us that the great revivals were always preceded by prayer and fasting. Fasting strengthens our walk with the Lord. It increases our intimacy with the Lord. If you're preoccupied only with the weight loss, which that was part of me back in the 70s and 80s, but it wasn't as big an issue then. But if you are preoccupied primarily with weight loss, then fasting actually may hinder your prayer life, because you're not doing it for the right reason. Now, I want to talk a little bit about handling hunger. Some people say to me, "Well, I can't get through the first day." That's the hardest. Well, somewhere in the first 1, 2, 3 days, they're the hardest. The first one's usually the hardest. I found that when God is truly calling me, honestly, they're not hard. But I wouldn't use that as a criterion to fast. If you feel God's telling you to fast a day, 2 days, 3 days, know that the first and second and third day are going to be the hardest. after the third day, your hunger literally disappears. I'm telling you, it disappears. It's gone. And you wonder, and like when I quit smoking, I thought, how can those people do that? I look at people eating, and I think, how can they eat? Why do they need to eat, you know? I'll talk about the waking back up from that later, but keep your stomach full. Keep your stomach full of water or juice, herb tea, whatever it may be. You keep that full feeling, and it will get you through that difficult time to that point where God just cuts the cord with our hunger, our taste buds, and all of a sudden it's not an issue anymore. I'm serious. By the fourth day, there is no hunger, and then it's just a ride until hunger returns again, and that's usually when you break it. Sometimes one of the problems will happen as you get into a fast. You go, I just wish I could taste something. And I've been known to go grab the Frank's sauce and go, shot in my mouth, go, just to have that sensation of taste, you know, or to chew a cough drop, which I am always doing anyway. But you do tend to miss flavor, and that's one of the things we set aside. You do tend to miss that variety that comes with food, and you might have to satisfy that with apple juice, or orange juice, or pineapple juice, or tomato juice, or whatever the case may be. Bouillon is good in times like that, just to give yourself some flavor. And again, it will get you through those first few days. Different juices. I think when I started this fast, we went out and got peach and pear and apricot and there's mango, there's orange, there's pineapple, there's apricot. Did I say apricot? And you get that variety, and it's really helpful. Now, there are some dangers in fasting. It can cause some problems. It can even be dangerous. Actually, I suggest that people, if you take medications, you need to keep taking your medications. You take vitamins. I continue to take my vitamins. Something unique happens when you fast, though. I've noticed I have this multivitamin I take, multivitamin mineral, and when I take it, in my normal day, if I don't take it with food, I get indigestion. When I'm fasting, I can take it by itself, and it causes no indigestion. I can't explain that. Maybe it's an interaction with the stomach acid. I just don't know. But if you have any eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, anything like that, you certainly would want to avoid this. You would probably want to avoid fasting as a spiritual discipline if you have an eating disorder. If you have a situation of obesity, that could be a problem because, as I'd mentioned earlier, you can be poisoned by your own poison that's in your body. It's stuck in place in the fatty tissue of our body, but it does get released during fasting. And I remember this same guy, his name was Paul Bragg, that had done the walk across Death Valley. He said he actually, at the end of one of his fasts, passed a marble of quicksilver, basically mercury, because his mom used to give him this medicine when he was a young boy that had quicksilver and mercury in it. And his body had it stored in his cells, and it just dumped it all out finally, and it got cleansed out. The other thing that I learned is when you are fasting, avoid protein drinks because they are not good for you. They're actually unhealthy. They can hurt you when you're in a long fast. But the first time that you fast, seek God's will. Set a time for the fast and don't go beyond it. Unless you said, Lord, you tell me when. But if you're just starting out, if you set a goal for a meal or a day or a few days, just stick with that and come back another time and try it again. But if you're healthy, you should fast. And what you'll experience in that fasting, as I said, you'll experience an internal cleansing, a clarity of mind that is incredible. Energy levels above what you'd anticipate. I remember when I came home after 3 weeks of fasting, one of my boys didn't call me because he thought I was probably be laying on the floor like Mahatma Gandhi with my ribs sticking out, just going, and my tongue hanging out. Actually, I came home and split a whole bunch of wood that was sitting beside my driveway and took it to the backyard and stacked it with my wheelbarrow. So you get energy, you get strength of mind and clarity. And you need to seek the Lord when you begin, how long you go, how long you sustain it, and listen to the Holy Spirit as to when to stop if you're going to let the Lord decide this for you. Because what God will do is He will send hunger. He'll remove the grace, and it'll be time to stop. The benefits of fasting, as I've mentioned some already, but some others are, is that extra time I mentioned that you have, there's no meals. You got more time to pray. Life gets a lot simpler when there's no meals. And also, the dishes in the sink. You don't need a dishwasher anymore. So all you have is a mug or a glass. That's it. That's what you're taking your water or your juice in. Your prayer life improves because you have time for it, and there's that something happens in our connection to the Lord where you actually desire to pray more. Your knowledge and understanding of God's Word as you read it improves. Your memory will improve. It sounds like I want to sell a tape, right? For only $49.95, you know, it's not what I'm doing here. And discipline improves. Self-control improves. We're just detaching ourselves from that bondage to food. I mean, we need food for nutrients, but not every day. It's releasing that physical bondage to food in the world, in a sense. And a secondary kind of a nice side effect is weight loss. That shouldn't be our primary, but I know when I fasted for 40 days, I lost 30 pounds. I found it again. That was the problem as I put it back on and then more. But that's a nice side effect. Here are some other problems that come as a result of it. One of the organs of our body that's part of the cleansing system is our tongue. So your tongue starts to, and your gums will actually start to excrete some of the stuff. You get some bad breath, it'll peel paint. I mean, it's bad. So carry breath mints with you, okay? The other thing is your body has less ability to create heat. And one of the things I experience is that I'm now the same temperature as everybody else because I usually run good around 64 degrees, 65. I like that temperature. Now that's cold for me when I'm fasting. You know, I need it up around in the 70s too. So you have a little more difficulty creating body heat. So you'll be wearing long johns, maybe a hat and a sweater and turtlenecks. And you know, I was sitting around the day that we fasted, the day before, as I was preparing, in a turtleneck and sweats and a hat and gloves, and I was chilly beside the fire. You know, that's just not like me. The other thing you'll experience is times of weakness, times of fatigue. That's why planning it's so important. Because I'm in ministry, I have some flexibility there. If I need to take a nap and I'm not with someone, you know, I can lie down and take a nap. If I'm in here, there's a lot of stretch out on the chairs here. You know, if I'm home, I can lie on the couch. You will get times of weakness and fatigue. They usually pass after the first 3 or 4 days. But part of that, as the body's beginning to detoxify, you get kind of foggy-headed and muddle-headed where your thoughts just don't come together and you're kind of like, what was that I was thinking again? You know, you get a little scatterbrained maybe. I don't know if you might not notice that when it happens to me because I'm kind of like that all the time, but you get a little foggy-headed. The other thing that happens is as you fast and the body, you know, you lose a lot of electrolytes as you excrete the fluids, you'll get muscle cramps. And you can counter that by taking, you need to keep the mineral salts up in your body, calcium, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin C. This morning, I was up grinding calcium, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin C in a little thing, and you stir a little honey into it, and you can take that, and it goes into your bloodstream quickly, takes away cramps. So these are some things you need to know. When you end a fast, someone asked me last night, well, I've fasted for one day. What about breakfast tomorrow? Because I'd said, well, I'll start it with a salad and a little oil and vinegar. For breakfast? I said, well, yeah, I would, but I eat anything any time of the day. That's not an issue for me. But if avoid fats. I wouldn't go out and get a McMuffin or a burger with fries. You know, don't avoid fats. A light salad with oil and vinegar or just cereal. If it's in the morning, just take cereal and milk. Because your body, if you're out there 3-4 weeks or 3-4 days even, and then you start eating fats right away, your body really rebels. You'll get indigestion. You'll get pains. Everything will, well, it's not good. When you end a long fast, as I said earlier, introduce juice for a period of time, maybe through the first day or if you're doing several weeks. A light salad with oil and vinegar is a good way to break a fast. Raw fruits and vegetables, a little at a time to get your system ready. Remember, it hasn't seen food sometimes for a day, a week, a month, if you're really into long fasting. So you take raw fruits and vegetables in small amounts, a stick of carrot, a half an apple, a stalk of broccoli. And for long fasts, it can take days to end a long fast. You have to do it carefully. And then there's a period that I call waking up the lion. One of the humbling experiences I had was I got to this point where I said, wow, I've fasted for weeks now. I've finally got a handle on food. I can just eat small amounts now. I'll just take control of my diet. And you know what happened was as soon as I put food in my mouth, it was like waking up a roaring lion. There was this lion in me that wanted to eat, and it was going, feed me. And I thought I'd had control, but all of a sudden this lion woke up that just wanted to eat everything in sight. So be aware that as you start to come off a fast, even though you think, finally I've got my handle on food, there's this lion inside of us. My stomach is what it is. My stomach and my taste buds that just want to be fed. Our bodies are carnal. They want to have their way. And so keep that in mind. Eat lightly. But if you've been through a period of days or weeks where you've disciplined and offered that self-discipline, the key is to carry it through. As with other disciplines, though, it also, fasting opens the door to pride and boasting, which really diminishes that opportunity for spiritual growth. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees fasted twice a week. In fact, he's quoted in Luke 18 saying, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And they would walk around with these sad faces. They'd put on old and dirty clothes. They'd throw ashes into the air so people would say, oh, what's going on? He'd say, oh, I'm fasting. But they did it so that all could see what they were doing and praise them for their piety, for their spirituality. Jesus scorned their custom because he could see their hearts. He could see their true motives. He knew that the Jews abused fasting in the past, even in Isaiah chapter 58. You can turn there if you like. I want to read a few verses. Isaiah 58:3, where Jesus describes a counterfeit fast and a true one. Isaiah 58:3. He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and don't see wherefore have we afflicted our soul? And you take no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when you see the naked that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? So you can turn to Matthew 6 from there. So when we're fasting today, we're really dealing with the same issue throughout church history, how we do it. How we fast often depends on who we want to impress. If it's a fast for our spiritual benefit, if it's a fast for God's glory, then no one else needs to applaud us, to pat us on the back for the commitment that we have. And in Matthew chapter 6, in the beginning, Jesus addresses our heart, and I want to close with these verses. He addresses our heart concerning giving, prayer, and fasting, because you've heard me say before, the heart of the issue is always the issue of the heart. It's where our heart is more than where our feet or our seat is. Matthew 6, take heed, this is about giving, take heed that you do not give your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. This is the verse I used to say, you know, when you drop your money in the agape box, don't blow a trumpet, okay? We don't allow trumpets in here. But they did that. They actually would have a page or someone beside them, and they would go, doo-doo, and everybody would turn, and they'd go, all their pennies, you know, they'd pour them into the box. Next, in verse 5, he begins and he addresses our heart concerning prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you've shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. In other words, don't say the same prayer over and over and over again. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And here he gives us a model of prayer. Again, not to be repeated 10 times in a row, but a model. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hey, you want to say it together with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I didn't know that "for thine is the kingdom" part was there until I got saved. So this is the prayer, the model prayer. And Jesus says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you're not forgiving someone for something they've done against you, then your heavenly Father's not forgiving you. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then verses 16 to 18, he says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, who sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. So there's a little snapshot into what's involved in fasting. It's not complete. I'm not an expert, I'm not a doctor, like I said, but things for you that you might want to consider. There's a lot of material available on the internet and in bookstores. I love to discuss it with you. I like talking about fasting and reviewing some of the things that I've learned over the past 40 years. And remember, as you do these things, remember 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's stand and pray. Oh, all to the glory of God. Lord, all to your glory. Lord, we know that you can sustain us, Lord, and only you can sustain us, for you are the giver of life and breath and heartbeat and everything, Lord. So thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. Thank you there that you can strengthen us. I pray that these words would be encouragement to your people, Lord, to set aside some things to bring in self-discipline, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. We know you want that, Lord. So I pray we'd be wise in all this. We seek your Spirit as we start and as we end, Lord, and pray it would always bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.